96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Morning. Welcome back to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, June the 9th, 2021. And you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And this morning, I have a message from the Bahamas Customs Department. Exempt. Making customs simple. Bahamas Customs Baggage Declaration app is coming soon. Fill out customs forms while traveling. Search for rates of duty. Calculate duty before you land, and so much more. This app is easy to use and helps you clear customs even faster. This message is brought to you by the Bahamas Customs Department. Good morning to everyone. Today we are going to start the show with a bit of what's in the news, and then we're going to segue quickly, far more quickly than yesterday, into our segment on Men's Health Month. For Men's Health Month with Mr. P. Dillon, and I have a new guest in studio with me today who's going to introduce himself right now.
All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Eric Newbold, and it's a pleasure to be here this morning.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know who Mr. Eric Newbold is, right? But I say, if this boy show up with his friend to join this conversation, then he must need to be here. And that's why it was so important for me to have these conversations, because I know men are out there trying to figure out how to have these conversations with other men. They sort of in their small circles, they're talking to each other, but they want to share what they're feeling with other men. And so during the month of June, I'm hoping to have a bunch of conversations with men and with women about men, right? About what they need, about what they don't need, right? About what they want in life, their desires, right? Sometimes we treat men like these monoliths, like all man is the same. You know what our favorite saying is? All man is dog. That's what we love to say. And we love to say it in front of little boys. And we love to say it when we're mad at little boys' fathers. Right? And we don't really care about how it impacts. And this is on a large scale, right? Like a wide scale. We're talking from the politics of it, from the social politics of it, on a personal level. In fact, I am about to talk about some things I see in the front of the paper. And even when I engage in this type of critique, I want to make sure that I am being fair, I'm being balanced. But as much as possible, I could stick to the issues. Right? Like, I don't want people to feel like I attacking people. Now, sometimes I crack in jokes on people for real, you know. But even then, I have to be measured and very concerned about the extent to which that joke impacts them. And more importantly, how it impacts the lives of the people around them. right? Because when you become a leader, I don't know if y'all watched that movie, 10,000 BC.
Yeah.
It's a little funny little kids family movie, right? Yeah, little lighting. Yeah, yeah. They got one powerful little segment in that film where the boy is talking to his godfather and he's like, man, where my daddy is, man? He's supposed to be here with us trying to save the world. My daddy, something like that. Mm-hmm. And his godfather, the older brethren in the community, is telling him, like, look here. Some men draw a circle around them and their family, like the immediate family. And they job, they committed to protect everything in that circle. Mm-hmm. And some men draw that circle a little wider around that their community. And mm-hmm. they commit themselves fiercely to protecting everything in that community. And some men draw a circle around the whole world. And mm-hmm. they commit to saving the mm-hmm. whole place. And he's saying, that's your daddy. Mm-hmm. That's your daddy, right? And so when I take on this job of critiquing these boy them, that's what I used to call them. I don't want to call them idiots. The boy them, right? When I critiquing them, and when we are critiquing them, I think it's important for us to remember that they are people too, right? They are humans too. They are fallible too. And even though they volunteer, you know anybody who's just throw $400 in the air for nothing? Mm-mm. They thought seriously about that and volunteered for the job. Even though all of that, they still human. And even when we critique them, we got to find a way to critique them. And that critique also builds them up, provides solutions, provides responses, right? And so that is the spirit in which I engage this, what's in the news and what's not in the news critique this morning. So we can start off with some good news. I want to say a good special shout out to a guy named Kenny. Now, Kenny, I ain't going to call Kenny last name, but the people at the Gladstone Road Farmers Market know when I'm talking about man named Kenny, who I'm talking about. Kenny is man. Kenny see a problem, Kenny can stop and fix it. Mm. And Kenny saw my partner on the road yesterday, right? And he saw her back brake light was out. Mm. And he chased her down to tell her, look here, miss, we can change this back brake light right now. Right? Because he's a mechanic. That's what he's do. So it's his labor. Right?
Right.
I want to say shout out to Kenny for being a stellar example to other man. What we expect?
Yeah, we need a man like that in this life.
When my partner Buck Kenny, she just come out the road from sort of directing traffic because she bucked these two women in a broke down vehicle. Uh-huh. And they sort of in the middle of the road. Right? Mm-hmm. And she stopped to help them figure out what we's gonna do next. And she did that because that's my job. When I in the car with her, I's the one who say, stop, we got to help. Mm-hmm. And as she says, as soon as she get out her car and put her hands on the car to start pushing, one four man from every different direction say, wait, miss, what's going on?
One thing about being a man, we ain't going to let no woman push no car.
Right. In fact, I was in the road at Marathon, and this woman is in a big SUV, and it was only her one. So I could see why she wasn't trying to push it, right? Uh-huh. And I go on to push it. Now, mind you, you see I have on the shoulder brace. Mm. This is how I hit my shoulder. And I was sitting there like a champion. You know when you have to rock the truck like 18 mm-hmm. times just to get it to move? Yeah, boy, I did all of that hard work. And then these boy them came in semi-trailers around. You know, they're trying to go around the roundabout. Mm. And here's what I love about it. And I want other men to see this. It ain't had nothing to do with me. And maybe it didn't have anything to do with the woman who was stuck, right? Mm-hmm. They had somewhere to go, and they knew they couldn't get there with this current situation in the road. Mm-hmm. Mm. And so whether it was to help us, to help the woman with the car, to help me because I was struggling, or to help the wider society so they could move their car and get where they're going, they had a delivery to make. Mm-hmm. And they were prepared to do what was necessary to clear the road so they could make their delivery. They didn't sit back and say, we gonna have to sit here and tell them women them figure out how they can move that car, because that ain't my car. And nobody said, that's green, eh? She thinks she's mine anyway. Mm. He could push that truck. I could push it, you know. But that ain't the point. My insurance ain't set up like that. And so it's important to note that we got some man in this town who should be the role models for everybody. They should be the ones on the billboards. They should be the ones we talking about in the songs. They should be the ones being promoted to the Senate with no actual resume to show why they there, except for their kindness, right? Like, that's what this thing should be about. I got a text here dead quick. Great show as usual. We ain't letting no woman push no car, especially if the woman is a mango skin. Now, not the bleach mango, the original mango. Like, how do you, dear texter, how do you blend all of that goodness with this little colorism?
Your fans is the funniest people in the world, and they love this.
Right, but thank you, because it's like you give me something to talk about, right? We ain't letting no Bahamian queen do nothing if man is around. Whether you are beautiful, pearl-skinned Bahamian of European descent, where your skin glows in the sun like a, you know, like the pearl and like the pink sand in Governor's Harbor, whether you're mangrove skin from Long Island or Exuma or Elutra, whether you are dark skin, mahogany, bronze piece of beauty that God sent from heaven, texture, all is beautiful. Whether you are chunky Bahama mama waking on yourself,
yes, girl,
right? All is beautiful. But thank you, texture. We love that. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. See, because sometimes we think that men only compliment women for their own selfish gains, right? For like their own personal appreciation. And so I know plenty men, they compliment women because they feel like women need compliments through their day. They know they women like compliments. And it's not an attempt, it's not going to be followed by a, so you going to buy me a beer and take me home, miss? It ain't that either, right? Like, some men just have a mummy and like seeing their mummy smile since they daddy don't make her smile no more. And it's something about, right? Now, some of those men also realize that that's it.
Yeah.
You just say it and let on. And then let them go.
Yeah.
And you feel like a superhero.
Yeah.
Actually.
Because you brought one more woman smile into the world without harassing nobody. That's you, Mr. Newbold? Huh?
That's me.
All right. So, I see I got a caller on the clock. Caller, you live?
That's a good bloody screen. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Sparky. How you do?
Right, yeah, been sort of off the airwaves for a little while trying to get some medical stuff sorted out. But hey, talking today to you and your guests and the Bahamian people.
Absolutely.
But I don't want to, I just called in. I was doing some breakfasting.
Okay.
Some of your crab soup, you know, our favorite Bahamian things. Crab walking, so all we should be eating as a bunch of crab and chichani and things.
Y'all don't be, I don't catch a chichani to eat them, Sparky.
That's what you do with them, I boil them.
You know, they I train them.
They good boiled, you know.
Listen, Sparky, it's Labor Month, right? I train them to do jobs, man.
No, but they got some chichani which get boiled. Pick the fat and you can boil them, but don't pick the feathers from the bottom side, just from the top.
I hear you.
And the wings and things, they fly away.
You
ever notice only two islands you find buzzard? Long, I'm free for the Andras.
I didn't know that, you know.
Them big buzzards land in the middle of the road, till the car go around.
In Andras, yeah, without a doubt.
They don't move on the middle of the road. They say, go around, brother, just leave the road.
No, I believe.
But you know, I just wanted to say something a little Bahamian today, because like, I used to jump on people with the driving and all this kind of stuff and the breaking the rules and all that kind of stuff. I would like to just go overboard and say something that yesterday I sat and I listened to the House of Assembly, and it looked like some of our politicians are starting to speak out and speak their mind.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to say I really appreciate listening to Mr. Doctor, whatever, Mark Alpine, how he just let it loose yesterday, what was on his mind, whether he was an F and MPLP, backbencher, frontbencher. He just said it like it was. I wish the men in our country would start getting up, because, you know, Miss Green, before I give me a little, one of them, what's your boy in the wheelchair name?
Brayman?
Pumpkin Eater. Give me one of
him. A Pumpkin Eater minute. Okay.
Yeah, give me one of him minutes. One of these long minutes. Because, you know, if you and him get to talk, y'all just fall in love on the phone. But, you know, the reason our little small island, only 21x7, what we call Nassau, but it's ready named New Providence, where everybody's leave their family island, their beautiful other island, to come here because everything is centered here. They say, keep the people in one place and you could control them, right?
And it's also about resources. It's an urbanization policy where the government spends less money by drawing people to one central point.
Yeah, and you tell people, where you living, man, that's only a bunch of bush here. That ain't important. You know, all the resources are out there. But the foreigners, they can see how important it is. That's why they go out there and buy them islands up and build them little huts on the beach. And then pull the yacht right on the sand.
Sparky, that's why I spent. I know that's why I spent years calling to task both Brave Davis when he was a deputy leader, and Minnis when he was leading opposition about their responses to family islanders asking when their island's going to be restored.
And yeah, both, but if you give me my time, because I know my man will cut me if I just...
No, no, he can cut you. But let me just say it, and I can paraphrase it. Both of them suggested that we may have to rely on foreign direct investment to develop these islands. Go on.
But you see, one of the biggest problems is, and I think it started with Mr. Pinland, before he did anything to South Andrews, he will bring the people from South Andrews to New Providence, give them jobs doing construction and teaching and working around BEC, Batelco, water and wakes and stuff like that. So the only time they ever went back home was either the wedding, funeral, and regatta.
Yeah.
They came to Nassau, and they helped build Nassau. That's why they say, we build Nassau. Mm-hmm. The whole of the Bahamas got together and built Nassau.
Yeah.
A person like me, I was born in Chippenham. My mother was born in Camp Road. My father was born in West Street. So my doggone lineage comes from New Providence. Mm-hmm. I don't even have no family in the Outer Islands that I know of. So what I'm saying is, if the people in the Outer Islands don't stay there and build their own island, they can sit there forever waiting for governments to do it. Because the government is going to concentrate on where the majority of people are. The government is going to fix the hospitals, the airport, the hotels, and everything in New Providence, because everybody come in here. Everybody live in here. All the tourists want to come to New Providence. They want to come where the big hotels are.
It ain't even that, Sparky. But one second, Sparky. They don't want to come to Nassau, you know. They come into where the jobs are. They come into where the tampons don't cost $10 a box for 20 tampons.
But not only that. They come into where the main hospital is in case of emergency.
Yeah.
They come into where the main airport is because they have to travel. They come into where the main doggone boat terminals are because they're on cruise ships.
Yeah.
So they got to come to New Providence. And if we don't diversify to the Outer Islands, we could be right here just messing over one another. And the more we get crowded on one another, the more you will see my friends and my lovers happen. Because guess what? As my children come out, I got to take care of my children. And everybody in my house got need a car. So I got 10 children. We got 9 cars in one yard. And we can overpopulate New Providence. Why the foreigners just buy up the Outer Islands and pay us, and then we got to pay to go to Ireland and go to Harbor Island.
We already got to pay now, Sparky.
You got to go to Harbor Island and pay $15 for one little bowl of chicken wings, one slice of potato, and one slice of onion.
Look here. $15. I know a place at the end of Frank Watson Boulevard. Like, you need a whole visa to go there, Sparky. You don't even have to go off the main island to get all them prices. But look here, I gotta go. I gotta transition into.
And you know they got some places now, so you can't even go there with money in your hand. You gotta carry visa. Have a good day.
Yes, sir. Look here, it is real. It is real. In fact, see, Sparky, I was about to talk about plantation model tourism systems and how the first cruise ship since COVID-19 is about to arrive, and we should all be excited about something that we. Many of us are trying to stop for decades because we can't police it, because we have no control over it. See, that's why I don't gamble, period. That's why I don't gamble, like, with friends. Mm. I don't gamble in the official gambling, because I can't enforce my winnings. Mm-mm. I can't beat you up and get my money when you decide you ain't paying me. And I wonder what the Bahamian government is going to do when it is time to enforce a penalty for a breach of a protocol. What you gonna do? You gonna send the same police that don't want to give out tickets for people running red lights to them? That's what you gonna do? You can't enforce the Black Beds Key ruling. How you gonna enforce this? Anyway, I gotta get quickly to my show. So let me finish off my What's in the News segment. On the top of the Guardian, Bannister blasts silly shanty town ruling. And as I read it, I could only think of a litany of things that are silly and Bannister should be blasting at this time, like the leak on East Shirley Street that's been leaking still for months, and water and sewerage still owe them people $500 million for water, and we produce our own water. I don't get it. What else should you be looking at? Bannister, you need to go and talk to Mr. Moultrie and talk to him about how he should talk to people, because you know how to talk to people. You talk to people nice. You're very polite. That's why we like you. What you say, though? Mr. Moultrie, what in... I was about to say, what in God's green earth, you know, but that would be facetious. How could you sit down and tell this statement to a reporter? How could you say, I sat in the front of a person last year who made a public declaration that he does not believe in God. He gave me all the reasons why no food will be coming into this parliament for the members of this parliament last year. Moultrie, what does this person's status as an atheist have to do with the fact that y'all like to eat 2, 3, and 4 meats? And y'all getting paid anyway. And y'all haven't taken a salary cut. And little children in the children's homes and state-run facilities still don't have what they deserve according to the Constitution. You want to talk about silly? Turn to your colleague or former colleague, Lanisha Roll. Talking about parliamentarians aren't getting paid enough. Y'all really working 24 hours and 7 days a week? Listen, when I was in the spot, I used to work with a ministry, with one of the government ministries, is the ministry of working on people's nerves. And that's the only ministry that shouldn't take a pay cut in the session. Because they waking. They on people's nerves every day.
Hard on.
Mr. Bannister. Honorable MP Desmond Bannister. You know what's silly? The fact that we haven't seen the report of who was responsible for the fire in 2018 that destroyed the BPL generator. That's what's silly. What's silly is that we have a road named Frank Watson Boulevard that goes to nowhere but Albany. The same place that broke the largest freshwater lens on the island. How do they get their own road? You're responsible for roads, right? That's what's silly. Talk to your colleagues, man, about what's silly. Talk to your competent authority about what's silly. The Shantytown ruling is silly. It may need to be reviewed, you know. It may need to be appealed, you know. It may be wrong in law, you know. The judge may have been freaking herself out, you know. It's possible. All of that is possible. But what is not possible that is acceptable for you to respond to that as a silly ruling? Remember, you're the deputy prime minister of the country. You wanted to take on a fake position. Now you have all these real responsibilities. Why? Not just because you was man. That would be trite and facetious for me as a feminist to say because you was man. But because you are a mature adult and you have volunteered for the responsibility of running an entire country. The idea that you at some point could divest yourself of this responsibility, that is what is silly. Okay, I finish. Let's get to the texts. Miss Green, I blacked twice, so am I in trouble then? Lord, you in trouble with the sweet universe. The sweet universe love you. You ain't gonna never rest. People always gonna see you and smile at you. That's a good kind of trouble. You don't watch nothing. Sparky, eat the chickchani. Sparky, I'm not going to say that. We are not going to say that, Texter. I just ain't gonna say it. And the Texter said, if you is a mango skin, we might buy you a car. Y'all are just colorists.
I'm mango skin. I need a car.
She's squinted a bit. Close.
Well, that's what I look at. I slightly mango skin. I'm more bronzy, right? But that's, I guess that's what you have to do. Because if you are mahogany, bronze, beautiful, black, goddess skinned, or god skinned, then we give you the whole universe.
Because
that's what you deserve.
Yes.
All right, next test. The first cruise ship to arrive since COVID-19 arrived yesterday. Oh boy, I was late. I got to get my chickchanis to work. Hi, Aaron. A wonderful contribution by Sparky today. I agree. Another text. Good morning, Aaron. Making the move to Abaco today to start putting up my triplex. By the time the court is done, I'll have a community of triplexes. This is what I think of that Supreme Court ruling. I agree with the DPM. The ruling is ridiculous. Mr. Moultrie has long been out to pasture. His silly is unmatched. Yeah, don't go to Abaco to build triplexes. Unless, of course, you were prepared to offer affordable housing. Because you know we're in the midst of a housing crisis. Which is how the mud and the pee and all these shanty towns, how they sort of fester, right? Because it's not just migrants that need them. In fact, a lazy government who wasn't prepared to deal with a housing crisis would turn a blind eye, pretend like it wasn't happening, not follow policy like you have to know, you have to prove where your migrant labor is living before you could renew the permit, that kind of thing. Absolutely. Another text. Morning, Aaron. You see why they is get crab for Father's Day. Men around here always chasing these mango skin women like something wrong with us dark skin beauties. Judging us by color. FYI, black is the new gold. And most of these men out here is fat, ugly, and out of shape with their bare belly like they 9 months. It is some of y'all men that need to tend to your health because that bare gut is possibly a sign of liver disease. I rather push my car and marry a white man, and I mean a white man, not no conky Joe. Bright and white's women is where we even bleach to, just saying. Thank you for this lovely introspection on colorism and the intersections of privilege, right? And how colorism, like for all y'all people who like to run around talking about, oh, only migrant skin need apply and all that foolishness, do you see how it impacts other people? It is not right. All right, another text. What caused more, the burned down generator or Bamsey building? What burned down? See, this is the danger of the current political culture. I am the person who's paying for both. You notice that, right? It's me. Ain't one better than the other. Because we have to pay for both, and that's the point. Stop letting the political culture distract you and confuse you. It's all one government, whether it's an F&M administration or a PLP administration. It's all one government. They all getting paid the same salary. None of them getting their salary cut, and they could all hide behind cabinet secrecy and feel like they don't have to answer any of our questions. Okay, last text, and then we're going to go to a break and get into our segment. As a Bahamian man, I don't care what color she is. Who she is more important to me. Acta non verba. Now, I read that Latin. I hope that don't mean nothing bad. I apologize if it means something bad. I just assume it means something good, Texter. And you know what I know about the Bahamian man I know?
Actions, not words.
Thank you. Bahamian men love your heart. That's what they love. They love your heart.
Yep.
And a lot of these young boy, they ain't get there yet. Some of these young boy, they still caught up in some trend, this and social that. But as Bahamian men mature, all the boy them I know, they love their woman for who she is. And what she brings to their life more than what she look like in a pair of tight pants. Right? Our men are not as shallow as that. However, we creating this culture where we suggesting to young men that that is a sign of masculinity, right? And what you call it, machismo, like not just that you's a man, but you's very much man, right? Like you's all the man. These are some of the things that young men are beginning to believe that they need to perpetuate to show the world that they is real man. Just one last text. Aaron, please stop making excuses. Where's the evidence that shanty towns are made of majority Bahamians? I didn't say it was majority Bahamians, Dexter. The housing crisis is really not a government problem. In the old days, the man used to work hard and build his home for his family legally. In the old days, when black people were enslaved, they still had to build their own houses. Oh, my. I'm not making excuses for shanty towns at all. I'm just saying let's find balance. As soon as somebody tells me who started the fire at the BPL generator, I am prepared to lock up everybody in the shanty town. How about that? How about that? Is that a fair trade-off?
Yeah.
It is a fair trade-off. Anyway, that's my music. We're going to a break. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM, Guardian Radio. When we get back, P. Dillon, Mr. Newbold, we'll be talking about men's health. Stay tuned. It's going to be a good one.
COVID-19, do not panic. Be prepared. If you plan to travel, keep updated on travel advisories from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Be sure to wash your hands often and have travel-sized hand sanitizers and disinfecting wipes readily available. Keep your distance from persons who are coughing and sneezing. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. This can help protect you from COVID-19 infection and other respiratory diseases.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The one, the two, four, two. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell the law. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Welcome back to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. You are on the clock with Erin Green. We're going to get into this segment. I just got this one last text to read. It says, good morning, Erin, and to your guest. I totally disagree with the judge's decision and the government need to move quickly to correct the situation. Remember, we're in the hurricane season. Why should we allow immigrants to live in shanty towns where they can save 80% of their salaries and Bahamians have to pay 80% of their salaries on bills? Okay, here's what I thought you was going to say. We're in hurricane season, and I haven't seen one new government shelter built yet on Abaco, Grand Bahama, or in New Providence. So maybe you don't tear down their home because you don't have a place to put them yet. Not even like a detention center. You don't have any kind of real facility to house these people. And I need you all to know this. A housing crisis. The government has a responsibility to ensure that it is resolved. So you're getting paid to manage a country. What's a country if people in it don't have a place to live? But I want to make a more important link, right? I want to make this link from housing to men's health. Because I imagine that as a young man moving into your manhood, trying to determine what you can, what you will, and what you can do in the world. Mm. Your mental and psychological and to some extent emotional health is impacted by your confidence in your ability to house and feed and clothe yourself in the short term and in the long term. I imagine that young men who come out of high school and start working and realize that they cannot afford to rent a place by themselves or even begin the mortgage process, they're troubled mm-hmm. and don't know what to do about it, don't know how to reconcile their identity as man, right, with their identity as broke, especially in a culture where we stay telling our young people, if you want to be man, get your own house. If you want to be woman, get your own house. How do young people, particularly men, with the pressure put on them to be the provider, even especially when you're going after an independent woman, because you got to be able to match her and still be prepared to provide what you match, right? How does that impact your mental health?
See, that's where most of the pressure on us young men are, because from the young age of 10, 9, you're told, all right, you got to grow up and take care of your house. Your daddy's telling you, hey, your man is take care of your house. Their mothers is telling you, hey, if you want a girl, you got to be able to take care of your house and stuff like that. That's all the pressure. So even growing up in true school and stuff like that, you're trying to learn, all right, I got to get the best job, do that. And then that's pressure in the learning and stuff like that, instead of going after what you want to do. Because there might be some people who want to be a game designer, but people telling them, well, now I'm going to make no money, so now I got to drop my dreams. Mm-hmm. I got to find something else. Mm-hmm. That's the stocking of the mental pressure when it comes to men's health and stuff like that.
And I can imagine, because I understand it. I've been through not the man mm-hmm. aspect of mm-hmm. it, right? But where are the temporary housing initiatives? Where is the low-cost rental for young people? For young people transitioning from the family island? I want to say to the older men, how could you abandon these young men knowing what you've been through trying to become man in this country? Mr. Newbold, speak on it. Don't mind me.
I've been trying to hold it in so much. And from it comes to parents, and people don't understand, like parents.
You can speak right into the mic. Yeah.
From you were younger, right? When you were trying to like voice your concerns to your parents, or even if you start to speak up, you can't raise your voice in this house. You think you was mine. So you're already instilling in that child, hey, I can't do certain things until I accomplish certain things. Mm-hmm. And now as you realize, the world prevents young men, or even, I won't even say young men, from young persons from progressing mm-hmm. on a whole. Then you put this thing in their mind that, hey, I can't accomplish nothing until I get there. So now people feel like, I will not be an active adult in this world, no matter if age brings me to the age of adulthood, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. of these officials and people controlling what's going around about them.
Right, this culture, right? And I often make the link between, or ask people to interrogate whether there are links between the political culture, bully culture, parenting culture, gang culture, right? And I feel like when older people say the brain drain, young people are leaving for better opportunities, more money, at the end of the day, I think young people are leaving because they're tired of feeling bullied in, right? That's, do it again with his hands. If you see his hands, do his hands like that. Feel like you're being pressed.
Cloaked and pressed.
Into something mm-hmm. that is more palatable or comfortable for somebody else.
Like, I'm going to come. Yeah, I'm a person, I'm all about the truth, right? Let's say the Bahamas would have been a whole lot further if the young persons were given the opportunity to share their creativity and their ideas and how we can have expanded within the past 6 years easily. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, let's go to the medicinal marijuana. We have young people and old people alike that suffer from ailments that can be simply solved by the legislation of using this plant.
Yeah.
However, because people are afraid to transcend from an old world way of thinking mm-hmm. into a new way of thinking that has science to back these claims and show them that there are literally no negative side effects of this. Now, because we don't want it, because this is what we grew up knowing, we're not going to allow this to transcend in the future. So you're going to hold the development of people that are going to live here past your living times. Mm-hmm. You're going to force them to stay in that box because you are afraid of that.
Right.
And that's really messed up.
And even, let me make this note, even if the effects, the impact of the drug culture, because I can be honest with you guys, we had a horrible drug culture here.
Mm-hmm.
We had
yes.
horrible, horrible using coke, selling coke. Predation, sexual predation, people, you know, just needing to get the coke, all kinds of things. Still, I think that my older generations owe it to younger generations to provide a space still
to grow
through our fears, through our concerns. In fact, if we're that concerned, we should be building mechanisms to deal with those concerns, knowing that children cry, but yet they come. Mm-hmm. Right, it ain't no stopping them from coming. The generation's just gonna keep coming, and I gonna get older and older and less relevant unless I make myself relevant, right? Which is, I'm concerned about the drug culture. What am I doing to help? Mm-hmm. What am I doing to fix it? So these are my guests. Introduce yourself again, Mr. Newbold.
Hi, everybody. My name is Eric Newbold.
And my guest from yesterday?
My name is P. Dylan Nixon.
P. Dylan Nixon. Buddy, I gotta make myself a name. I need a superstar name, but P. Dylan Nixon. All right, so I got another question here. Are we reading the room incorrectly? Are men and boys open to the idea of therapy, but not comfortable with the options available if they even know they exist?
There are many options when it comes to therapy. Most people will tell you, go to Sonnets.
Yeah.
And then there's the stigma around therapy is for the crazies.
Yeah.
But there's so much therapy options for young men, especially when you have problems and issues and stuff like that, especially going through breakups, stuff like that. All that gives you the psychological trauma. You could go online. There's therapy sessions that you could get. Just pick up your phone and do for low price and stuff like that. And then the price of therapy over here is kind of high also. Yeah. But, you know, there's options.
Well, when it comes to therapy, firstly, therapy is available in many ways and forms. But I feel the stigma of young men, we won't really venture to find out what types of therapy is there until we truly sit down and we look at ourselves to find out that there is actually a problem.
Yeah.
And then when we find that there is a problem, the next hurdle that we have to encounter is trying to get somebody to help us in trying to rectify this. Because if I come to, let's say, P. Dillon, right? Uh-huh. I come to P. and I'm like, yo, I feel like this is wrong. Something's going wrong with me. If he is not a properly matured person, the first thing that he's going to say is, wait.
Catch yourself.
Or the typical Bahamian slander or phrase, but you sissy, hey, babe. Put yourself together and keep going. Mm. Exactly, pull it together and keep going. But the thing is, when you tell people to put on a mask and to keep going, that actually amplifies.
And as opposed to saying, look here, I know you're feeling vulnerable right now. Come, let's chill. So that tomorrow you could keep going.
Bingo.
Right? Look here, I got a caller on the line. Let's get to this caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good day, you know, it's along with you and your panel, Aaron.
Good morning, Brayman. How you doing?
I'm holding, thank God.
Good, good. Ain't nobody tell you I talked about you yesterday.
I've heard you myself. I'm listening to you.
Good, good.
And thank you.
Good, good.
But what I want to say today, right?
Yes, sir.
The brother was talking about marijuana, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think he got to start thinking for himself. Don't wait on any scientific, you know, situation. The thing is, if you smoke marijuana, right?
Mm-hmm.
You start getting sleepy behind the wheel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No driving and smoking.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, no, he wasn't saying
that. You're not flexible like you weren't smoking marijuana, right?
Right, and certainly it's...
You go on the job, you can't... you get drowsy, you can't do the man work. You go to bed, you can't wake up in time to get to work.
Yeah.
There's all kind of negative in smoking marijuana. So, you know, you got to think, man, and think for yourself and get an understanding of what you're thinking. In all of your getting, get understanding. Thank you.
Thank you, Brayman.
Good morning, Mr. Brayman. I love to come off of what you ended with. With all things, get understanding. Now, what you're coming out and you're saying is smoking marijuana makes you tired or drowsy or incapable of performing daily tasks. However, if you seek the proper understanding, you will understand that if we use medicinal marijuana, which is we're using the CBD oils to ease the pains that you may feel from nerves, that does not help the sedation that impacts you in that negative aspect. So in all things, sir, I would really like if before we speak on this topic, we really gain knowledge and understanding, because a lot of persons need this to proceed to have a regular life that you may enjoy and not understand.
Yeah.
And I, for one, am one of those persons. And when it comes to a negative stigma, to look at something that can cause equity to not be possible for the greater populace, that's really not, that's not a good look for me. And I don't know how to put it any nicer.
Right. And Brayman, he didn't suggest that we should just legalize it, let people do what they want. Although that's what we do with alcohol, eh? Although that's what it seems that we do with alcohol. And we do our young men and our young women, our young people, a disservice by not policing ourselves better around both substances, right? And their use. One is legal and we still disrespect it. Oh, y'all like to drive drunk. But let's move on. I got some text there, but I got to get to this particular question. I saw this on Facebook last night. Why are men taught how to treat women, but women aren't taught how to treat men? First of all, I want to say, this is not true.
At all.
No, in fact, this weekend, I was just watching a British program where they take children and put them in a school like the school would have been in the 50s. Right? Like the school operates just like it would have operated in the 50s. And the senior girls, their exam was how to clean house and cook food and treat your man. Mm-hmm. That's what they needed to do to graduate from school in England. And so I want to ask y'all, two men, how you feel about that statement? Why are men taught how to treat women, but women aren't taught how to treat men?
Women are definitely taught how to treat men from their very young. They're taught how to treat men. It's just today's society, especially with rape culture so prevalent inside the world, they're pushing away from men type of thing. They're trying to gain back their power of being feminine and stuff like such and such and such and such. And then being submissive, especially with rape culture as it is, you know, it's pretty much harder for them. So that's why we have this divide between women and men in the culture these days. And then men are taught how to treat women and stuff like that. It is what it is.
I literally think it's called the breakdown of families, because not everybody has a basic family home. And the things that most people learn from when we were children through observation is how to treat one another. If they don't have that ability to interact and learn, that's what causes a lot of the disconnects growing up and becoming adults. So especially, and I'm not going to just say women aren't taught how to treat men, but also men, if they aren't given the right foundation, they do not know how to treat women. And that's why we have a lot of confusion in our generation now, because young men are now looking up to these men that did not have the proper grounding or foundation, but they may have the material things that they need. And they look at that as that's what a man is, because now he has money. He could pull any woman in the world, and no matter how he treats her, he still has them.
Yeah.
City boys, I'm sorry, I'm not with you guys for this one. I'm all with the gents. And the same thing goes for the women. I believe, honestly, once everybody has a proper grounding and the old saying stands firm, it takes a village to raise a child. Once you could sit down and observe the right ways to do things, the entire world could change. But we need love. And I love comment for this line. Only love, love, love can reboot us. And that's from Where's the Love.
Okay. I mean, I think that's a great idea. Even like as a queer woman who if I start a family, it's going to be what you all call a non-traditional family, right? There's still models in our community. So even the single woman shouldn't really fear that there is no example in the community, right, for their children to see the modeling of healthy relationships. Because there's an uncle and an auntie, right? The neighbors next door are married, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important, like you say, the village concept. Because the children looking everywhere, and the examples should be everywhere. Now, guys, I got 3 minutes left, and it's like 18 texts come in one time. So let's get to these texts, and I'll let you guys respond to them. Mm-hmm. But don't worry, I got to get you back, because we got to talk about sexual predation, where we ignore the fact that we have a culture of initiating young boys into sex with older women, right?
Yep.
Initiating young boys into sex and adult women preying on young men 15 to 20.
Yep.
And don't think we have forgotten those adult women that were making those salacious comments about young high school graduates, right? I just need to say that. Women. That is just as, if not more dangerous than the men who do it. Right? Because of our perceptions of women in society and their role. Mm-hmm. It's not on. Don't be cutting up with these young by them and cracking these jokes. And we could talk about rape culture and toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But let's get to the text. Some of these texts are for you, Aaron, by the way. It's time. Bahamians find some land no matter who, when it is, and go build on it. If the foreigners could do it, then we could do it. Two. See, when y'all talk about foreigners, though, y'all like to talk about Haitian foreigners versus foreign direct investment foreigners that also kind of the government operate with them kind of like shanty towns, because they get all these concessions and they get all of these bypasses and all of these similar things that you ascribe to shanty towns. Another text. Good morning, Miss Green. The colorism and hype over a cruise ship plantation are just the fruit of a culture of servitude. We are raised in a society where we rely on benevolent masters to take care of us, whether it's the foreign banks, hotels, or some other new foreign endeavor. We can't imagine empowering ourselves to build our own country. I could be honest with you, right? That's a plantation thing.
Mindset.
But it's important that we have this discussion, particularly for young men, right? Because they are the majority in a black majority country, and they can't reconcile with the fact that they're not getting the opportunities in their own country that they should do, being the majority in their country. And I'm sure that this leads to a psyche amongst young men where they tend to move away from certain professional spaces and cultural and social spaces, and move into spaces where their identity means something to the people around them. Oh, there's so much to talk about with young men. Okay, another text. Real issue is that in this modern era, women are not traditional women. Yet we still expect impression men to be the role of the traditional men. This is a bomb ticking.
Yeah, I definitely agree that women aren't traditional women as it is, but we're moving into 2021. Mm-hmm. No one should be traditional anymore. That's why we shouldn't have those traditional men stereotypes either.
All right, listen, we got 1 minute to read out all these texts. When I need therapy, I go, no, we're not reading that text. You better go to church. Hi, white people on Bay Street, but the straw market closed. It's about the COVID protocols and the lack of space in the straw market. They need to find a better structure, way to show off their goods. Think about it. Why there are no developments on the family island? Crown Line is all the PM's office. Kids are not encouraged to come back home from school or overqualified. Well, when people don't feel like they belong in their own country, whether it's government policy, social policy, or family policy, it's happening. We're making people feel like they shouldn't come back. Oh my God, he said rape culture, LOL, another mythical unicorn, like the patriarchy. Well, let's run that by the one in every three women that are raped in the Bahamas every year and see if they agree with you, texter. Okay, that text is for Levan. Another text, when I need therapy, I go, no, you sent it twice, I can't read it at all. Anyway, dear texter, don't send those things. You have to be a mature Bahamian man and set a role model and an example. Because I want to read your text, but I just can't. I don't think it's appropriate. But we talk about it later. Thank you, producer Kermit. It's been a great day. To my guests, Mr. Newbold, P. Dylan, Nixon. I gotta have you guys back and bring you on with some older Bahamian men so we could have this intergenerational conversation.
That'll be good.
There we go. There's Mr. Miller. It's 11 a.m. That means it's time for Unleash with Levon Miller. I know you guys are going to have a great day, so stay tuned to 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.